Those of us who have been around a while, and Elder Worthlin and I have been around a long time, have recognized certain patterns of life's tests. There are cycles of good and bad times, ups and downs, periods of joy and sadness, times of plenty, times of scarcity. When our lives turn in unanticipated and undesirable directions, sometimes we experience stress and anxiety. One of the challenges of this mortal experience is not to allow the stress and strains of life to get the better of us, to endure in a variety of seasons of life while remaining positive and optimistic. Perhaps when difficulties and challenges strike, we should find these hopeful words of Robert Browning: "The best is yet to be." We cannot predict all of the struggles and storms of life, not even the ones around the next corner. But as persons of faith and hope, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, and the best is yet to come. I remember a particular period in my life when I was under unusual stress. There were troubles in my employment. At the same time, my wife was diagnosed as having a life-threatening illness. This was one of those times when it felt like the adversary had mounted a frontal assault against me and my family. On days when stress and anxiety of our tumultuous lives were about to get the best of us, my wife and I found a way to relieve them. We drove to a place a few miles from our home to get away for a few moments of relief from our troubles, talked, and gave emotional comfort to each other. Our place was Walden Pond, a beautiful little pond surrounded by a forest of trees. When my wife felt strong enough, we'd go for a walk around the pond. Other days, when she did not feel up to the exertion of walking, we'd just sit in the car and talk. Walden Pond was a special place to pause, reflect, and heal. Perhaps it was partly due because of its history, its connections to the efforts of Henry David Thoreau to separate himself from worldliness for a period of years, that it offered to us so much hope for simplicity and provided such a renewed escape from the overtly complexions of life. It was on March of 1845 that Thoreau decided to move out on the banks of Walden Pond and spend 2 years trying to figure out what life was all about. He settled on a piece of property owned by his good friend, Ralph Waldo Emerson. He purchased an old shanty from a railroad worker, tore it down from the lumbers of the shanty and from the lumbers in the woods. He constructed his own cabin. He kept meticulous financial records, and he concluded that for the home and freedom, he had spent a mere sum of $28.12. He planted a garden where he sowed peas, potatoes, corn, beans, and turnips to help sustain his simple life. He planted 2.5 acres of beans with the intention of using the small profit to cover his needs. Small profit indeed, $8.71. Thoreau lived quiet, independent of time. He had neither a clock nor a calendar in his little cabin. He spent his time writing and studying the beauties and wonders of nature that surrounded him, including local plants, birds, and animals. He did not live the life of a hermit. He visited the town of Concord most days, and he invited others to come to his cabin for enlightening conversations. When the 2 years ended, he left his cabin without regret. He considered the time he had spent there a proper amount of time to accomplish his purpose, to experience the spiritual benefits of a simplified lifestyle. He also felt that he had other life's experiences ahead of him. It was time to move on and explore other opportunities. From his experiences on Walden Pond, Thoreau determined there were only 4 things that a man really needed: food, clothing, shelter, and fuel. I would like to expand on each of these 4 basic needs of life, as well as the spiritual benefits of a simplified lifestyle. The first requirement is food. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we possess a sacred knowledge from revealed truth about the relationship between the body and the spirit. The Doctrine and Covenants section 88 states, "And the spirit and body are the soul of man." To bless us both physically and spiritually, the Lord has also revealed to us a law of health, telling us which foods and substances are good for the body and which of these are not. With these instructions comes the promise found in section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants. "And all saints who remember to keep and do these sayings, walking in obedience to the commandments, shall receive health in their navel and marrow to their bones, shall find wisdom and great treasures of knowledge, even hidden treasures, shall run and not be weary, and shall walk and not faint. And I, the Lord, give unto them a promise that the destroying angel shall pass by them as the children of Israel and not slay them." There's no better counsel concerning the word of wisdom than found in the booklet for the strength of youth. It states, "The Lord has commanded you to take good care of your body. To do this, observe the word of wisdom found in Doctrine and Covenants, section 89. Eat nutritious foods. Exercise regularly. Get enough sleep. When you do these things, you remain free from harmful addictions that have control over your life. You gain the blessings of a healthy body, an alert mind, and the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Any drug, chemical, or dangerous substance that is used to produce a sensation or a high can destroy your physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. These include hard drugs, prescription, or over-the-counter medications that are abused, and household chemicals. We do not want to harm our mortal bodies, for they're a gift of God, and part of our Heavenly Father's great plan of happiness is to reunite us with our mortal bodies and our spirits. Another basic necessity of life is clothing. A simplified life brings spiritual blessings required to wear simple and modest clothing. Our dress and grooming sends a message to others of who we are, and it also affects the way we act around others. When we're modestly dressed, we also invite the Spirit of the Lord to be a shield and a protection for us. Worldly trends and women's fashions are always inviting extremes. With the latest styles, many fashion designers appear to be trying to make two or three dresses out of the amount of the same fabric necessary for one. Mostly they're taking too much off the top and too much off the bottom of women's clothing. And occasionally they even scrimp around the middle too. Men's fashions are also adopting extreme styles. In my day, they would be called sloppy and inappropriate. I believe that very casual dress is almost always followed by very casual manners. Many of you are trying too hard to be unique in your dress and grooming to attract what the Lord would consider the wrong kind of attention. In the Book of Mormon, the story of the Tree of Life, it was the people whose manner of dress was exceeding fine, who mocked those who partook of the fruit of the tree. It is sobering to realize that the fashion-conscious mockers in this great and spacious building were responsible for embarrassing many of those who were ashamed and fell away into forbidden paths and were lost. President N. Eldon Tanner once cautioned us in these words, "Modesty in dress is a quality of mind and heart, born of respect for oneself, one's fellow man, and the Creator of us all." Modesty reflects an attitude of humility, decency, and propriety, consistent with the principles and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let parents, teachers, and youth discuss the particulars of dress, grooming, and personal appearance, and with free agency, accept the responsibility to choose the right. Now let's turn to Thoreau's third requirement, that of shelter. Newspapers are filled with reports of the current housing crisis. We've been encouraged from almost every general conference that I can remember to not live beyond our means. Our income should be determined by the housing we can afford, not the neighbor's big house across the street. President Grant once said, "From my earliest recollection, from the days of Brigham Young until now, I have listened to men stand in the pulpit urging people not to run into debt. I believe that the great majority of our troubles today is caused through failure to carry out that counsel." One of the better ways to simplify our life is to follow the counsel we have so often received. Live within our income. Stay out of debt. Save for a rainy day. We should practice and increase the habits of thrift, industry, economy, and frugality. Members of well-managed families do not pay interest, they earn it. Thoreau's final necessity was fuel. We've been hearing a lot about fuel and energy, its high cost and limited supply, our unsafe and unpredictable dependence on suppliers, and the need for new and sustainable sources of energy. I leave that discussion of these complicated issues to leaders of government and industry. The fuel I want to discuss is spiritual fuel. The Lord has given us a beautiful plan of how we can return to Him, but the completion of our mortal journey requires spiritual fuel. We want to emulate the five virgins who had stored sufficient fuel to accompany the bridegroom when he came. What is required to maintain sufficient store of spiritual fuel? We must acquire a knowledge of God's eternal plan and our role in it, and then by living righteously, by surrendering our will to the will of the Lord, we receive the promised blessings. Elder William R. Bradford taught from this pulpit, "In righteousness there's great simplicity. In every case that confronts us in life, there's either a right way or a wrong way to proceed. If we choose the right way, we are sustained in our actions by principles of righteousness, in the which there is a power from heaven. If we choose the wrong way and act in that choice, there's no such heavenly promise or power. We are alone and are destined to fail." Just before Thoreau died, he was asked if he had made his peace with God. He replied, "I was not aware we had ever quarreled." In our search to obtain relief from the stresses of life, may we earnestly seek to simplify our lives. May we comply with the inspired counsel and direction the Lord has given to us in the great plan of happiness. May we be worthy of the companionship of the Holy Ghost and follow the guidance of the Spirit as we navigate through this mortal journey. May we prepare ourselves to accomplish the ultimate test of mortality, to return and live with our Heavenly Father, is my prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.